Please input command codes. Command codes verified.
Welcome to the Starfleet Task Force 1 Operations Priority Subcast. I'm Captain Jason.
I'm Captain Fettuccini.
And this is Episode 8 on Stardate 91768 Mark 15.
Our theme for this episode is Carriers. Our first section here is Captain's Log, where we talk about what we've been doing in-game. So, Captain, what have you been doing?
Well, thank you for asking, Captain Fettuccini. I have been doing a lot with my Romulan character. I've been trying to figure out how to play as a Romulan with all the warbirds and all their interesting tricks and shenanigans with the Singularity Drive, and also because he's a science character, and I do not know how to play science characters, so it's been quite a learning curve for me.
I've heard that Romulans have a lot of trouble with ship power levels. Have you been running into that?
It's really different for me. I came from like Federation Engineer as my main, but they actually start with lower overall power levels, I find. So it's not like a base 200 that I got on my cruisers. It's base almost 160, I guess. But that changes depending on the singularity level.
Oh, okay.
I think. Like I said, big learning curve. It's been a lot of fun, though. It's like teleporting around, cloaking, uncloaking.
Have you done the entire Romulan storyline?
No, and that was the biggest problem, is that I didn't level this guy up properly. So it's a mistake I made. I got him to level where he could enter the Dilgrim channel, and that was right before I was going to buy a whole lot of new equipment for my ships, for my main character. So I wanted lots and lots of dilithium. And he got leveled up to level 50 just running through Dilgrim.
So, wow.
Yeah. So my main problem is that... Well, was. I'm starting to get a better handle of it. But I went back to start playing around with him, and I was level 50, but there was all these buttons that I'd never seen before, or that I'd never used before. So I had no idea what anything did, or how to play as a science character, let alone as a Romulan, a big warbird.
Yeah, that's usually a problem when you level up your character, and you don't actually use the abilities that they get throughout the leveling process.
So I just wasn't used to them. I didn't really understand what they did most of the time. But the good news is I'm starting to figure it out and playing around with the Scimitar build and playing around with some Tabaros. It's been fun. It's just, it's weird going from my main character who's pretty tough. He's pretty strong. He's pretty tough. And then I fly around to this Romulan who seems to be made of paper in the spaceship. So.
Yeah, I know what you mean. That happens to me whenever I switch from my engineer to my tactical officer, who has almost no defensive capabilities. And if anything starts firing on me, it's like, evasive maneuvers, brace for impact, get away!
Pretty much. It's like, I start looking at that cloak button, like, oh, when can I hit you? When can I hit you?
Yeah.
But other than that, I've put a few levels on my Klingon. I have been devoting most of the time to my Romulan node, trying to get their reputation up, trying to practice around, get some marks. I've been going on a lot of mark runs with fleet members in it. Not because I can help them a whole lot, but because they can help me, and I'm trying to learn, so that's been good.
Yeah, okay. Sounds good.
What have you been up to, Captain Fettuccini?
Oh, I've been up to so much. So, for starters, I got the Operations Odyssey Cruiser, and I switched to that from my... for my Fleet Avenger, and such a huge difference. Like, for one, the turn rate is a lot slower on the Odyssey, which goes without saying. But one thing that I wasn't expecting is that it's a lot harder to actually gain aggro on the Odyssey than it is on the Avenger. But if you are getting damaged on the Odyssey, it's really, really hard to die if you're paying attention to what you're doing. There's so many different things you can do, and I started experimenting with lowering my defense. So you probably know that if you fly around at full throttle, then your defense goes up, and if you park, it actually goes into the negatives. And so what I've been doing is parking and seeing how much punishment I can take before I have to start moving again. And so that's been pretty fun.
All you have to do there is go play against Cypher, and he'll tractor beam you, and you'll stand still whether you want to or not. You'll be fine.
Well, if I ever get tractor beamed, usually I'll pop my repulsors. And then push the enemy to farther than 5 kilometers away. But of course that doesn't work on big things like board cubes, and so when I fight them I just stay away from 5 kilometers. Stay farther than 5 kilometers at all times.
That's not a bad idea, actually. How many targets can it push?
Like cubes at the same time? The repulsors. Three.
Three? Okay. Some things, but I know that Cypher tends to bring a whole lot of runabouts with tractor beams. I'm not picking on Cypher, it's just...
Yeah, well, the good thing about the repulsors is that they also do hull damage, and so I also use them as a point defense system for incoming torpedoes that I can't get rid of any other way. Just pop the tractor beam repulsors, and they're down.
Very cool. Yes, I love my Odyssey. I mean, I think the Odyssey is one very ugly ship. I wish there were different skins and things I could mix and match on them the way a lot of other ships have, but I too use my Operations Odyssey on my main character a lot because I like it.
Yeah, and I really love the chevron separation for when I just can't seem to be doing my taking job. I'll switch to that and switch to the tactical carrier command to boost my weapon efficiency, and then I just try to do as much damage as I can.
Still using the chevron separation?
Yep. I have it in one of my science slots.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably switch out once I get some more threat ability. Some of the fleet consoles that have plus threat and some better weapons and some better tactical consoles that will boost my weapon damage, then I'll be able to actually keep threat. But until then, I'm still using the chevron separation.
So you're going for the Romulan Embassy consoles?
Exactly, yeah.
Yep. Well, that's cool. Are you doing anything else in-game?
Yeah, on ground side, I've been doing the Dyson ground dailies. I think it's 4 of them every day. It's a lot of fun because there usually aren't that many people in the instance that I'm in, and so I have to try to take these areas by myself, and that presents interesting challenges. And one thing that I did recently to make those easier is I got the ability that makes your orbital strike follow your target and last for like 20 seconds. And
I love that thing.
Yes, it's so handy. Especially when you're fighting those big like mecha things that fall from the sky and sometimes they'll randomly completely repair themselves. Yeah, it really helps if you have that extra damage on them at all times.
Oh, that repair isn't random. There's a little drone that heals them that tries to stay out of combat so you can kill those. What's that called? Yeah. What's that called? Orbital Devastation, I believe?
Orbital Devastation, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, I got that from my engineer too, my main character. And I too drop them on the little battle mech suits when they come in, especially the ones that push you away.
Yes.
I'll just drop that and say, forget you.
Yeah, so that's been pretty fun. And I'm starting to get some tricks for getting some of those zones by myself, although I haven't been able to do the ones where you have to push the device on that little rail line all the way to the end. I haven't been able to solo that yet, but it's only a matter of time.
Really? That's the one that I actually can solo, because I don't have to go all over the place. The ones that I really have a hard time with, there's like the, when you have to shut down the generators for the orbital cannons or whatever they are.
Oh, yeah.
Because by the time I've got 5 of them, the one that I just got at the beginning is, you know, already reset itself.
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
One other person.
I had trouble with that for a couple weeks too until I saw someone else soloing it. And what I saw is that they would activate 2 of the console's devices, not the 3rd one, so they wouldn't shut it down completely, and then they move on to the next. They do that for all 5. So then all they had to do was just go to the last one for each console and then shut it down, and then that means that it doesn't activate their, I think it's 2 or 3 minute repair timer.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I also just tend to avoid those sections now. I'll just find something I can go get myself and go get it. Or look for other people.
Yeah, yeah, I do that too, but I hate at the end when you finally capture a place and everyone's scrambling to get all these marks, and it's so much better when you finish an area by yourself and you're able to get all of them.
Oh, the little battlefield commendation things?
Yeah, the little purple things. Although there was one time when I captured an area by myself, and right as it finished, someone else runs in and started taking up all my marks. I got so angry, I followed them, just waiting so that I could do the same thing to them.
And how much time did you waste on that revenge ploy?
Well, when it comes to revenge, time doesn't matter, but maybe like an hour.
You spent an entire hour doing that. Awesome.
Yeah. Like, this person needs to know that what they did is not cool.
You're right. That was not a cool... That was uncool. But spending an hour doing it, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah, but other than that, yes, that's pretty much been it.
Okay. We've both been busy, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So should we move into the next section?
Sure.
The automatic pilot system is not functional.
So the next section we're going to talk about is the Daily Grind, which is our PvE focus, and today we're talking about carriers. Now, Fettuccine, you said you fly a lot of carriers, and I have been practicing with my Romulan. I've been flying a Scimitar a lot, but you say that the Scimitar is not a true carrier. Do you want to explain the different types of carriers?
Yeah, carriers can usually be split up into two categories, and that depends on whether they have one or two hangar bays. The first category of carrier has two hangar bays. That's a so-called true carrier. And that means that these carriers usually focus more on their pets and commanding their pets, and not so much on the actual carrier ship themselves. And the other type only tend to have one hangar bay, and there's a bit more versatility in what else they can do. So, for example, you can have a carrier with one hangar bay, and it focuses on DPS. So a popular example that you'll see flying around is the heavy escort carrier, the fleet heavy escort carrier on the Federation side. And you can also have carriers that focus on science. And so, for example, the Vesta line of ships on the Fed side are a good example of that. So if your ship has zero or one hangar bays, then usually it's not considered a true carrier. And also, it usually means if you have one hangar bay that your playstyle doesn't heavily depend on actually having pets out. But they're a nice bonus, of course.
That's true, though I do know people who use their pets very, very well with their playstyle. You mentioned the tactical escort carrier.
Yeah.
I know... our fleet member Garen, our fleet admiral, I should say, he's one of the admirals in the fleet. He uses a tactical escort carrier, and his pets make it all that much more brutal to deal with. So he definitely gets a good use out of them. And you mentioned the Science Vesta ship. I know that Cypher uses those. And he can utilize them to great effect, too. And I feel like Cypher's build, those pets are an integral part of it.
Yeah, well, it always depends on how you make your specific build. But you can also find people that run some of these ships, and you won't see any of their pets out, simply because they haven't decided to build their ship around having pets out. They add an extra element to the game, so you have to be that much better at paying attention to what's going on with your ship. So one thing that I've always noticed is that it's very easy for me to suddenly have one or two pets left out of eight total, and that means that I have to spam the skill that launches them again, and that's not really good. If you're flying a true carrier, of course, because usually with true carriers, your playstyle kind of depends on having your pets out.
That's true. I will say that one of the things I had to learn with the Scimitar when I was playing around with it was that I had to pay attention to whether my little fighters were out or not. Sometimes I would just forget and be like, why? Oh, right. I forgot I have to resend these things out. They die. Forgot about that.
Yeah. And one trick that I use for helping me deal with that is that if you go into the UI setting, not exactly sure where, but somewhere in the settings, you can choose whether to show the health bars for pets, and you can also set it so that it only shows your pets and mine's health bars and not anyone else's. So that way, if you don't see any of these little green, tiny little bars on the screen, that means that you don't have any pets out. Or if you only see one or two, means you only have one or two. And if you see a whole bunch on the screen, that means you're good.
Oh, so you'll actually see them flying around your ship around you?
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. Originally, my problem was that I could not tell where my hangar pets were. And so I thought it would be a lot easier if I could change some setting that lets me know where they're flying to, especially if they're attacking the wrong target or whatever. And then I found that and realized, oh, I'm also able to tell that I only have one out, or I don't have any out.
So it's interesting that you approach it from that perspective. I had built one of my ships and my main character for healing, and I got very used to monitoring sort of the heads-up display, very much like the UI button. I just got in the habit of checking that little grid, that little box that tells you whether or not they're out. I just got used to checking mm-hmm. that, make sure that they were deployed and see what the countdown timer was, and it just became like I had to bring my own little fleet and heal them too.
I tried doing that, but I mean, just that extra element, there are already so many things that you have to pay attention to that sometimes I would just forget like I wouldn't check it until a couple seconds too late, and that means that I'm flying around for like 2 or 3 seconds without any pets out.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely going to think about looking if I don't see any green bars swarming around me anymore. I also got in the habit of every time I heard an explosion, just glancing over at it, because it was probably one of my pets exploding.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't like about the pets, is that they tend to stay around ships that they just destroyed, and they'll wait until the warp core breaches, and then they're gone.
Weren't they supposed to fix that?
Yeah, I mean, there have been a couple bugs that have kind of plagued carriers for a while. I think they redid the carrier pet logic sometime near the end of summer last year, but I could be wrong on that. And when they redid it, some of these bugs were introduced, and so it makes things a little bit harder.
Okay, well, so we mentioned some of the pets. So let's talk about some of the different kinds of pets we can have. So I know there's like the usual fighters that just kind of fly around and shoot things. Which ones do you like?
Yeah, so normally I'll run some kind of tanking build. And so for that, I really like the pets that just do a lot of damage, because it's easier for them to carry threat. And but on the other hand, they'll likely die faster. But that being said, there are different types of roles for your pets. So in addition to the straight up DPS oriented one, there's some support pets that you can have that will provide buffs or that can heal your shields and stuff like that. There's a debuff role, there's a raider role, and that's kind of interesting. Sometimes if you have these raider pets, they can board different ships, so kind of like that ability, the boarding party ability. And one of the most unique types is the frigate, which is bigger than your standard fighter, but you can usually punch only one of them. And Klingons will usually have one of these out, especially with the Karfi battle cruiser.
I know that the Romulans have one. This is the Romulan drone ship, and I think that might be a frigate-sized one.
Yes, it is.
I've seen some people run with two of them, though, so instead of the six, you just get two?
Yeah, because it's one frigate per hangar bay, so if you have two hangar bays, then you can have two frigates out. So the Karfi battle carrier is an example of a true carrier because it has two hangar bays, and so you can have two of these huge pets flying around.
Oh, interesting. I thought that I've seen scimitars with two drone ships. So are drone ships maybe not frigates because you can have two of them out?
Well, the drone ship in that respect is different because you can launch two of them per hangar. So it's different from the other frigate. But yeah, so technically it does count as a frigate. But yeah, the Scimitar only has one hangar bay, and so you can only have... if you fit your Romulan drone ships in there, then you'll only be able to launch two of them per that one hangar bay.
So if I were flying with the Romulan drone ships on, say, like a true carrier, I could have four of the things out.
Yeah.
I can't go to anything other than the Scimitar, can it?
Exactly. You can only install it and launch it from the Scimitar, Falchion, or the Tullwar Dreadnought Warbirds.
Oh, okay, so that's one way to make sure it's not overpowered.
Yeah, and you have other things like the Stalker fighters that come from the Cation Aatrox carrier that can launch six per hangar, so you can have 12 out total.
Yeah, I know the Romulan Scorpion fighters, at least the ones on my only launch three at a time, but the hangar could support six of them.
Yeah. So yeah, the Scorpion fighters are three at a time. So hangar bays come in different sizes and shapes, if you will.
That I did not know.
Yeah, so if you're running something that launches a lot at a time, then you'll probably have to make fighters more often, as opposed to something like the Romulan drone ships, which launches two at a time. So the max you can possibly have out is two, because you can only have that on the Scimitar, or rather on the Dreadnought Warbirds. And yeah, so it's easier to pay attention to your frigate's life, and it makes it easier to just handle them.
Okay. You had mentioned that there are different kinds of fighters, and some of them, I call them fighters just because they're coming from a hangar bay, it only seems appropriate, but they're really pets. There's different kinds. I know that the Obelisk carrier, which is a very engineering kind of carrier, I think, is. What are those things called? Swarmers? And you can only put the swarmers on that thing too, right?
Yeah, the Obelisk swarmer.
I know they're upgradable, but I know, for example, that runabouts, if you're Federation, they have tractor beams, and they do all sorts of mean things where you can't move, and there's lots of them, and they're harder to kill, the tractor beam mines, and oh, they're annoying.
Yeah, each hangar base sort of has its own little thing that it does. So, for example, with the Obelisk Swarmers, those launch three at a time, and you can have six per hangar, so max you can have 12. And they come with a focused anti-proton array, an advanced anti-proton defense array, and transphasic torpedoes, and some beam array overloads. And that's interesting because when you're flying with someone that has a carrier and they have all these pets out, usually these pets think with one mind, and so they'll use their special abilities at the exact same time. So sometimes you'll see like a cube or a sphere or something just get hammered by 12 different transphasic torpedoes all at the same time, or beam array overloads, and yeah, but of course not every hangar bay has the same abilities, and so you really have to look at if you want to fly a carrier, you should see what hangar bays your carrier can support, because some of them are only for a specific ship, and of those you should look at each hangar bay special abilities and tailor it to the kind of build that you want.
Very good to know. So where do people get the new different types of fighters? I know I've never bothered to upgrade my Scimitar fighters, and I probably should, because it's fun. They fly around. They shoot little cannons. They're adorable, and every now and then a torpedo comes out of them. But they tend to die, and they're not the best, I'm sure. So where could I go and get new ones?
Yeah, so probably the biggest reason that you would want to have better hangar bay pets is simply so that they won't die as easily. And so the general idea is that you get a carrier, and then it comes automatically with whatever its base hangar bays are, kind of like other ships come standard with, say, a phaser beam array, or photon torpedoes or what have you. And most people, I would say, don't upgrade their hangar bays as often as they upgrade their other gear, but it's still possible to upgrade them. And hangar bays are split up into three different types. There's your standard, normal hangar bays that your ship comes with, and then there's the advanced ones. Usually you can get those from the dilithium store for, I want to say it's around 32,000 on average. And those are the middle tier hangar bays. And then usually the last tier of hangar bays you can get are the elite ones. And the general pattern is that those come from a tier 5 comm array star base, although not always. And those usually cost about 100,000 fleet credits and some amount of dilithium. But there are also other sources for getting hangar bays. So you can get a couple from the reputation system. You can get them from the Romulans, from the Tholians, and I think from the Omega reputation systems. It's only the Romulan reputation system and the Nukara Strike Force reputation system.
You can get the little elite Scorpion fighters and the, are they like the web? What did the Tholian one give you?
The elite Tholian Widow fighters.
Oh, Widows, okay.
Yeah, those come with Tetrion beam arrays and dual beam banks, quantum torpedoes, and they also have fire at will. Yeah, those are six per hangar, and they launch three at a time, so just like the Obelisk Swarmers. And all the reputation system carrier pets can be launched from any carrier, so there's no restriction on that.
Well, that's good. Something that I do know about is that carriers can be really nasty, because suddenly you're not dealing with one enemy, you're dealing with, it's a true carrier, what, 13, if they have all their pets out? That's a lot of fire.
It can be a lot.
It's a lot of fire coming from a lot of different areas, and as someone who I know likes to keep a strong shield facing towards my enemy, if all my shields are getting hit at once, that can be kind of annoying. But something else is that we should talk about ways to make them even better. So I know the duty officers, that there is a specific duty officer for carriers called the flight deck officer.
Yeah, that's right.
And it has a bunch of different varieties of it.
Yeah, there are a couple different varieties. There's one special type that boosts boarding party abilities, but the other standard ones are the hangar bay recharge variant, and that one's really handy because it can reduce the time that it takes for your hangar bay to recharge. So if you suffer from exploding pet syndrome, as I like to call it, then you should probably get something like that. At the purple level, if you have a purple duty officer, the recharge time will be reduced by 15%.
That's pretty good. 50% is useful, especially since I know you can assign up to 3 different flight deck officers to your ship.
Yeah, exactly. So you can mix and match if you want to, or you can just stack the same one so that you can do one thing really well.
Sounds useful. I know that there's also, we were talking about, sending the ships out, but I know that if you recall them, apparently your ship gets a small defensive bonus, and there is a recall mode variant of the flight deck officer, which actually increases your carrier defenses, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, but the thing about that is that you can only, that duty officer's special thing only comes into play when your fighter's in recall mode. So as soon as you send them out into intercept or escort, then you won't get that extra defense boost. But personally, I like the hangar bay recharge variant because, like I said earlier, it was pretty difficult for me to pay attention to when my pets were, when I didn't have any out, and so it's just easier for me if I keep spamming that button, and the hangar bay recharge variant makes it so that I can spam the button and get more out of actually pressing it.
Well, I was thinking more on the lines of if you had a true carrier variant, you had two hangar bays, so you could keep kind of one going in a constant recall mode, sort of constant deal, and then you have another one with like they're out intercepting or attacking things. You could like sort of use that some sort of cheap and easy defense like bonus. Because it's pretty significant, isn't it? It's the very rare duty officer gives you a 10% increase in your defense if you're the carrier, if your fighter's in recall mode.
Exactly. So you're thinking, say you have two hangar bays, and then you have one recall mode flight deck officer, and then another, say, escort mode, and then you have one of your hangar bays on escort and one of them on recall?
Yeah, especially if things are getting a little hairy, you can put the other hangar bay on recall and something like that, maybe pull on that last fighter that's almost dead anyways, and just get your defense bonus to get... Just so when I read that, I was something that I thought about and said, oh, that might be like a good trick to get to learn to balance. But
yeah, that's a pretty clever idea, and I actually hadn't thought about doing anything like that. But yeah, it's definitely something that a carrier flyer should look into if they want to mix and match their flight deck officers.
The other two, though, are the two that I think, the other two variants of the duty officer, are the two that I think I would probably see most people running. Yeah, so the intercept mode, I know the very rare one gives you plus 25% intercept mode, and does that only apply to like incoming projectiles and other fighters? Or because that would be helpful if they're always shooting down the torpedoes and stuff, but is there more that the intercept mode can do? Does it shoot at enemy ships?
Well, that goes back to these bugs that I was talking about. So I was reading recently on the STO Reddit that intercept mode isn't exactly working how you would expect it to. So normally you would use intercept mode if you have a destructible projectile incoming and you have no other way to get rid of it except for using your hangar pets. But what I was reading is that this guy noticed that if he had his pets on intercept mode, then as soon as they would start attacking something, like another ship would get too close, they would fly off, and then they wouldn't return to the carrier, even if destructible torpedoes were about to hit the carrier. And so, I mean, if you want to use intercept mode as it's written, then it might not be so good for you, but if you want to use it for, say, PvP, which was my if you want to use it for PvP, which is what I would say that intercept mode is best used for, then that sort of bug is helpful, because in PvP, especially when people use emergency powered engines or evasive maneuvers, then it makes it a lot harder to hit them, so you usually want higher accuracy. And so you can combine the intercept mode flight deck officer with your carrier pet's additional accuracy, and then it'll make it a lot easier to hit those moving targets.
Especially if you do some combination of the intercept mode variant and the escort mode variant. Like, especially if you have two hangar bays, or even just one, you can switch between them. But the escort mode variant, the duty officer, what it does is that it increases carrier pet damage by 10% in escort mode. So as far as I can tell, all these things stack additively with the duty officer. So would that be a 30% increase in carrier pet damage when in escort mode?
Yeah, that's the way that I've understood it. So if you want to stack escort mode flight deck officers, then you would, and you had them all purple, then you would get the 30% carrier pet damage bonus.
And if you're running like the elite Scorpion fighters or some high DPS pets like that, that's a lot of damage going downrange, especially if you have 12 of them out.
Yeah, I think that some of those high 30k plus DPS builds might rely on hangar bays, and I would assume that they would probably use escort mode flight deck officers if they use any flight deck officers, and they would probably, keep their pets on escort mode for that extra 10% damage per purple duty officer.
I have to say, one of the things I like about this duty officer is all the variants except for that boarding party one, they're all not a chance for things to happen, they're all a flat bonus. And I always like a possibility of a chance. That's just the way I... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I prefer flat boosts to anything rather than like 30% chance that this thing happens.
Yeah, it's one of the reasons why I like flat base damage or critical hit chances. But definitely critical hit chances work as people use them on me all the time, and ouch, it hurts, but that's just the way it is. And the boarding party one, you mentioned it before, that's an interesting one. It gives you a chance to have more boarding parties or more, it's the raiding. So the raiders are kind of like pets, but they shoot at enemy ships and stuff, but they also are boarding parties at the same time. So they're like stronger, more aggressive boarding parties that shoot at you too.
Yeah, and once they get to the targets, they'll actually board the target. Usually I think the only ones that can use those are Klingons, and so I haven't really experimented with boarding party hangar bays. But I understood that this boarding party flight deck officer also affects your actual boarding party ability that you can have as one of your bridge officer's abilities.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
Yeah, but once again, it's also a chance to double the number of shuttles. And so, yeah, that's another reason why I tend to stay away from things like that.
That's a lot of shuttles, though, if you think about it.
Yeah, it is. But I do remember when, back when I was leveling my main character, and I thought, oh, cool, boarding party, this is so cool. Maybe half the time my boarding parties would actually get to the enemy ship. The other half they would just die, and then I'd kind of be sad.
I always sort of felt like you would probably have to learn to time when you send them. Like, if we see someone shoot off a fire at will, like a beam fire at will, then you'd want to send the boarding party right after it finished, so that it would be on cooldown for a while or something like that. Or...
Yeah.
Yeah, or, I mean, but when they land, though, the boarding parties are really annoying. Because if you don't have a tactical team ready to clear them off, suddenly your system starts shutting down, and it's just, crew starts dying. It's no fun.
Yeah, that's true. One trick that I learned to utilize when I had boarding party is one of my abilities is that I would wait until the enemy ship would actually be flying toward me, so my ships would have a shorter distance and time during which they'd actually be getting hit by anything. And so, yeah, that kind of, it definitely helps. Otherwise, your boarding parties are going to be chasing after the enemy, and boarding parties do not go that fast.
Suppose you'd have to tractor beam them in place.
Yeah, or you could just use your repulsor tractor beams if you have those. And those do hull damage too, so sometimes you'll be able to destroy them flat out.
Well, I meant more you use tractor beams to hold the enemy in place so your boarding parties can get on there fast.
Yeah, that also helps too.
Alright, should we move on to the shipyard?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, you know me, it's the Darkman!
Silence, you Patak! Great warriors, hear me! I am Tulek, governor of the Darth Market. Do you want to send your enemies to Stovokor? Come, request your free blue and purple duty officers, and watch your enemies tremble with fear, knowing that you cannot be defeated. The Darth Market is run by the House of Martok, the most powerful house in the Empire. Cry havoc, and let slip the Darths of War. Kapla!
Tactical alert. Vessel approaching, bearing 184, Mark 7.
Our next section is the shipyard, where we'll talk about carriers and how they can fit into PvP. So, we already mentioned that you might want to have this increased accuracy for your hangar bays in PvP, but are there other things that you should be looking for if you're flying a carrier and doing PvP?
I would say if you're doing PvP, definitely look into very quickly getting your pets upgraded. One of the things I can tell you is that upgraded pets can be super durable and super annoying to deal with on the other side. I know Crypti has used the drone chips, and to great effect. He has some crazy... It's Crypti, so he has some crazy damage builds. And his scimitar is one of them, and he uses drone chips. A trick he actually uses, which I thought was very cool, is one day I was on his team, and I noticed that his drone chips were flying along a formation with me, and I looked around for Crypti, thinking he'd be right next to me, and he was 15, 20 kilometers away, all cloaked. And he actually had told him to... He had told him to escort me so that the enemy would not know where he was, like cloak-wise.
Yeah, because they would think that he'd be close to his pets.
And his pets were like tucked right up under my nacelle, so it definitely looked like they were with me. But it was very... I was like, oh, that's actually a brilliant idea that I can't believe I wouldn't have thought of myself.
Yeah, that is pretty clever.
So send them to escort your buddy, and if you're cloaked, especially if you're a Romulan or a Klingon, then can maybe a Klingon carrier even cloak? Anyways, that's besides the point. I don't know if they can or not, but I know that the scimitar can, and if you do that, then the enemy won't know where you are, but your pets are still out, and they're still helping your team.
Yeah, it's a pretty deadly combination. Do you know if he's flying the, if he's using the advanced or the elite Romulan drone chips?
It's Crypti, so he's probably using the top-of-the-line stuff, and they were pretty durable. They're pretty tough. They added a lot to the...
Yeah, that would not surprise me. I mean, coming from Crypti.
On the other side, I know that Cypher uses, I think he uses advanced runabouts, and I think he's going to be getting the Yellowstone runabouts. And the runabouts have lots of tractor beams on them, as well as being shooting phaser beams at you or not. So there's always the chance that these tons of little runabouts running around are going to hit their phaser proc and knock down your shield facing or something like that, which is super annoying in and of itself, or shut down a random subsystem. But on his drain build, with all the gravity wells and Titan drifts, there's also lots and lots and lots of tractor beams out there to hold you in place, so that even if you get away for a little while, someone might grab you with a tractor beam. And he definitely has more tractor beams than I can fit polarized hull on my ship, so it's very annoying. It also means that you're sitting in the middle of the gravity well, just taking the hull damage right to your face without being able to do anything.
Yeah, Yellowstone runabouts are, I'd say, perfect for PvP because, A, they're the top-of-the-line runabout hangar bays that you can get, and also, on top of that, they launch Kronton torpedoes, which have a chance to slow down your engine speed and turn rate, and they have Tractor Beam 3. So, if you have... If you have 8 of these out, because it's 4 per hangar, then conceivably you could have 8 tractor beams on you at one time, not to mention getting pounded by these Kronton torpedoes. That sounds like a nightmare scenario in terms of PvP.
Yeah, it's not so much concept as it happened to me actuality in-game, so rest assured it is possible, it does happen. And that's back to what you were saying before with the more support side of some of them. Because I do know that some other people use basically sort of attack mode ones. They use the high damage ones. And I think that's what Garen uses. I think he uses some sort of attack because he has the carrier escort, or the escort carrier, whichever one, and his damage output is very, very high. It is very tough to deal with. But he's built very differently than Cypher, whose damage is also output incredibly high, and they play very differently than Crypti, so it's all very exciting. Oh, we should also mention that there is a way to have pets if you don't fly a carrier.
Yeah, that's true. If you run the mission The Vault, then you'll be able to get, I think it's a device, and and the device are regular Scorpion fighters. There's also a variant that you can get if you have hangar bays, but if you don't have hangar bays but you still want pets flying around, you can get the Scorpion fighters from the Vault mission, and you can use the device up to 50 times, and each time you use it, it launches 3 fighters, and you can have 6 of them deployed at one time.
So you can have 6 of those fighters, and you can have 6 fighters from another hangar bay, and 6 fighters from another hangar bay. So you can have 18 fighters.
Yep.
Because that's a device, that's not a hangar bay.
Yeah, exactly. I think eventually, in a couple episodes, we'll have probably come up with the ultimate spam build.
I'm just trying to imagine. I think my beam fire at will will run out of shot where it shoots at all of those fighters. That's a lot of fighters.
Yeah, I would probably use every kind of AoE ability that I had, like cannon scatter volley, beam fire at will, tractor beam repulsors, everything.
There'd still probably be some left over by the end of it, too.
Oh god, yes. Yeah, maybe that's when you really want something like gravity well.
So we do recommend that if you are running PvP and you're in like a team match, definitely use Crypti's trick of maybe you have a teammate who can't cloak, and you know, you're cloaked, so you're not in right away. Just make sure you throw your pets on someone else. If you aren't cloaked, then you got lots of pets too. You're probably one of the support ones for your team, unless you're running like the escorts and high damage ones. There's lots of ideas. If you guys know of anything that you like to do with your pets or any sort of carrier tricks that you like to know, please write in. We can read them out on next week's episode. Please write in. We can read out what you send us on next week's episode in the mailbag.
Yep. Sounds good.
Okay. All right. So that's what we have for carrier pets. We hope that some of this was insightful or useful at the very least, or at least explained what the heck's going on with all those spam.
Accessing library computer data.
The next section we have is in the news. We talk about news regarding to Cryptic and news coming up with the fleet and what's going on in the world around us.
Indeed. Let's start with the Cryptic news, because that's how I think we've always done it. And the first piece of news that I have is pretty cool. There's a storage slots increase as of, I think, the patch that came out last Thursday. According to the actual news post by Captain Smirk, said that they'll be increasing the number of main inventory slots for all characters by 18 and the number of character bank slots by 12. This is a free increase for all existing and future characters that will take effect when this week's patch goes live. And they'll also be increasing the number of times you can purchase the 12 inventory slots and 12 bank slots options from the Zen store, and that also becomes available at the same time.
Maybe they figured with all this future technology we should probably know how to store things. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I noticed, especially when they came out with the ability to switch your ships quickly and with the different loadouts you can have, is that sometimes my inventory would quickly fill up with space sets that I wasn't really using on the ship that I was flying. And so I think they might have realized this, and they're throwing us a bone here.
I also found that a new piece of news is that not only can you have the more that just gave you for free, which is great, I do enjoy the more storage space, my bank looks cavernous at this point, but they also have a sale going on right now that will probably end fairly soon, so take a look and see if it's still running by the time this podcast comes out. Where basically they're taking, I believe, 50% off of new bank slots and inventory slots. So they're giving you some for free, and they're cheaper on the bank right now, too. They're cheaper on the C-Store, I should say, right now, under services, if you want to take a look for that. If you want even more space, if you want to store everything all the time. Some other news, this past weekend, so March 1st and 2nd, and up to the 3rd, I believe, is also they're having a Zen sale. So bonus Zen is cheap. You buy some Zen, get a bonus on top of what you buy. That's kind of nice.
And the bonus Zen sale ends on March 2nd at 10 a.m. PST. So unfortunately, that will probably be too late for most of you if you're hearing about this for the first time. But on the other hand, I would expect that a sale on Zen means more Zen enters the game, which means that the price of Zen compared to dilithium goes down. So you can still get a little piece of that pie.
Which is always nice. The other piece of Cryptic news that we have is there is a free Wrath of Khan uniform, a free Ferengi shuttle, and some free Lobby if you download the ARC client and accept those things through the ARC client. Most of you guys probably know this because it has been all over all of the splash pages all the time.
Yeah, I see a lot of people alluding to it, and a lot of people that don't like it because it's ARC, and, you know, ARC is bad. The reason that I don't like it is because I don't play on Windows, I play on Linux, and so I have to use a program that lets me install Windows programs, and for some reason Arc doesn't work, so I have to use the normal STO launcher, and so I have to miss out on all these Arc giveaways.
I don't use Arc either. I just haven't really bothered to download it. I already have the game running. I'm not playing a whole lot of the other Perfect World games, and it's, from what I hear, a very big program. It takes up a lot of space. So if space is a premium on someone's computer, kind of like it is on mine, then it's not something I'm going to want to have to download. But that being said, I have seen the Wrath of Khan uniforms running around, and they are pretty cool looking. And the Ferengi shuttle is probably pretty nifty, especially if you're playing a Ferengi and you want to have all Ferengi ships all the time. So you got the Decor Marauder, now you can have a Ferengi shuttle to go with it. And yeah, and free lobby. Lobby is always nice.
Yeah, that's one thing that I would have loved to get my hands on is the Ferengi shuttle, because I have a very low level Ferengi science officer, but already all of his bridge officers are also Ferengi.
Very cool. So the other piece of cryptic news that we have is that they have revamped the Galaxy X somewhat, which is nice. It's a lot of people complain that the Galaxy-class cruisers are, for lack of a better term, terrible in the game compared to a lot of their counterparts.
Yeah.
The Galaxy X is supposed to be a battle cruiser. It's not nearly on par with the other Klingon battle cruisers. A lot of people say that if you're flying it, then a lot of people will target you in PvP or Garak because they think you're a noob because why would I also be flying it? I mean, I think it looks fantastic. I think it looks really cool, but...
It was the first ship that I got when I got to 2500 Zen, the Galaxy Dreadnought.
Yeah, do you like it?
Yeah, I loved it, and it was way better than the stupid mirror assault cruiser or whatever that I got, which I hate the way that it looks. Yeah, but I flew it for a while, and then I started reading more about it, and it's generally, at least... Before this devlog, it was generally regarded as the poster child for what happens to old ships when you introduce power creep, because everything else you can find is just so much better.
One of the things I read about that people were complaining about was that it doesn't have the tactical bridge officer spots to really take advantage of the fact that you can put cannons on it. It's also big and slow and doesn't turn very well, so it's hard to take advantage of you can put cannons on it. And I also hear that his main weapon, the lance, is not all that accurate. Is that true?
Yeah, the phaser lance, it fires a very, very narrow beam. What's cool about it is that it actually goes through your target, so if there's something else behind it, it will also hit that. And if there's something behind that, it'll also hit that, and so forth. But unfortunately, it takes a little bit to actually use, and so you have to get the timing right. And it has a 3-minute cooldown, which is kind of ridiculous for something that does as little damage as it actually does, base damage, and which is so hard to actually hit your targets with. So, at least before this revamp, what people would do is they would usually have some way of putting a tractor beam on whatever ship they want to attack. And then they'd use tractor beams, then they'd use beam fire at will and any other damage boosting abilities, and then use the phaser lance, and that sort of boosts the damage up to reasonable levels, but you still have to deal with the 3-minute cooldown time.
And most of the quote-unquote super weapons have like a 3-minute cooldown time at the time, I think. Someone was complaining that they fired up all their like beam attack abilities, if you will, and then immediately parked right next to the like one of the Unimatrix ships and promptly missed. Like, fired off his lance and then it missed. So he was not very happy.
Yeah. And those things are so big, too.
How do you miss the Unimatrix ship?
Exactly.
Fire that target officer. So we should talk about what the revamp actually was. So I do know that they are changing a console slot. I don't know what that is. So you'll have to look to see what that is. If they added more or not, or whether they did it all. But do you know they changed the tactical ensign to a universal ensign?
Yeah, that's true. And as far as console slots, that I think you're referring to the Fleet Galaxy Dreadnought, which bumps it up to 10 console slots total, which is, I think, one more than the normal Galaxy Dreadnought.
Yeah, which is on par with most other fleet ships, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it will also come with a standard 10% hull hit point increase and shield increase. That's pretty cool.
Do you know what the extra slot is in?
No, I don't think anyone knows as of yet. I think we're still waiting for the next devlog, which will give all the specifics on the fleet Galaxy Dreadnought.
They also now allow saucer separation on the Dreadnought X.
Yeah.
Which is new from before. And they also say that the saucer separation, once you do that, the spinal lance changes. It becomes like an AoE shotgun blast kind of effect instead of a sort of spinal lance, which, judging by all the complaints that people were complaining about before and what you were talking about, I don't really understand why. Because with the saucer separation, you become more agile, which means a cannon build would be great, right? You get all your cannons on target, you can turn faster, that sounds really great. And the spinal lance was a four-firing weapon. You had to turn to get that thing on target. And so now, when you saucer separate, you now remove the problem of getting your spinal lance on target, but now it's no longer the spinal lance, it's now a shotgun, which hits an AoE anyways, which seems very silly. I know that saucer has its own mini little spinal lance and that, but I don't know, I'm not sure that's what I would expect that to do.
I think the reasoning there was that the normal spinal lance goes through the entirety of the ship, and so it needs that whole length to sort of focus the beam into one area, and so when you separate the saucer, then you don't have, it's kind of like sawing off the shotgun. You get a larger spread, and so there's more AoE damage.
I guess that makes sense, like from an actual structural wise, but since when does Star Trek make sense? I do know that a lot of people are not very happy about the change from the tactical ensign to a lot of people aren't very happy about the tactical ensign slot going to universal ensign slot. They wanted the universal ensign slot, but the reason why they're angry is that they feel this ship is very starved for bridge officer tactical spots. And what they did was that they just gave you the option of having even fewer tactical spots than you normally would, as opposed to maybe changing one of the science or engineering ones to a universal, so you could have more tactical options. So people were like, gee, thanks for nothing. But still, it's good to see that they're, you know, trying to give it some love, and now that you can saucer separate, and there will be a fleet version of it, which would be nice, with more tactical slots, tactical console slots, that could be good, could be worth getting it. It can cloak ambushing someone.
Yeah, the bridge officer layout on the normal Dreadnought cruiser in terms of tactical is one ensign, like I already mentioned, and then there's one lieutenant, and so that means zero other shant commander, zero commander tactical slots. Means you can't use any third or fourth tier tactical abilities.
Yeah, so you're missing out on like attack pattern Omega, right? And
like you said,
some of the better attack pattern stuff. So yeah, that is low, especially if it's supposed to be like a battle cruiser, which is supposed to be like for battle.
Yeah, but there's also the hangar bay that the Dreadnought will get access to, and so by default it'll have Type 8 shuttles, which are the lowest form of the Yellowstone. The Yellowstone is we mentioned it earlier, is the quote unquote elite version of the Type 8, and so that'll make playing a Galaxy Dreadnought a little bit more interesting.
I can imagine a scenario where you launch your tractor beaming shuttles at someone, they lock them down, and then you get your spinal lance all critted, all geared out for phaser damage and everything, all buffed up, and you just spinal lance them, hit them really hard, and they'll try to be probably hit because they're not moving. So maybe that will make it, maybe the carrier pets will make it a little bit better, but you'll have to try that out and let us know if that has changed since you have one.
Yeah, They're also changing it so that it can get a set bonus from the antimatter spread console that you get with the exploration cruiser refit. So that's the normal C-Store version that you can start using at level 30. And so the bonus is that you can use that console in addition to the saucer separation, and you'll get a +1 turn rate bonus, which this ship desperately needs, +20 starship armor reinforcement, and +20 starship hull plating. And so the problem that I had is that I want to reach the set bonus, but I have neither the saucer separation console or the antimatter spread console.
Ah, so it might be a way for Cryptic to get more money.
Exactly.
Alright, yeah, so big news, they're revamping ships, which is nice. A lot of people in the community felt they needed it. But not everyone's happy with the changes, because if everyone were happy with the changes, the world would probably be
better. Yeah, I will say that the Galaxy is, in my opinion, the nicest looking ship in the entire universe.
Not entirely sure I agree with that, but that's an opinion, I suppose. Alright, let's move on to fleet news.
Indeed.
Okay, so we do have some updates for the fleet. Big news right now is that if anyone has been on the Starfleet Task Force 1.com website, then they may have noticed some changes to the layout, and they are revamping the layout. Basically, what happened was the fleet website had grown. There was a lot of new stuff on it there that wasn't there before, and things just needed to be cleaned up. So, for example, a big change is there's now a fleet services tab on the Federation side. And if you look at that, you will see that things like the Boff Academy and stuff like that have moved into there. Well, so that's nice. That's exciting. This will probably happen on the KDF side as well once things need to be cleaned up there. So if you're wondering where things went, then take a look at the new tabs. There's some new functionality, new things up. Explore a little bit.
I think it looks better because there aren't so many links on the sidebar now.
Definitely.
It looks more organized.
I also want to say that mentioning the Bridge Officer Academy, it is up, it is running. Feel free to message anyone who's on there who can train the abilities you want. I know I've already used it, and I will be using it again in the future. It's great because I decided that I wanted, for example, the Mind Spread Beta 3, the Dispersal Pattern Beta 3 on my Romulan ship. So I wanted to spread lots of minds out, and I just went on there and found somebody who could train it, and now we're going to meet up in-game and train it. It's going to be great. I don't have to go try and get it trained off for a Bridge Officer. I don't have to go running around spending lots of money. We have people in the fleet who have these abilities to train them, and it's really cool. I know everyone who's on there has committed to always keeping at least one Bridge Officer slot open at all times so they can train your Bridge Officers for you. So feel free to ask. They volunteered to do it, and they're all happy to do it. I'm actually one of them, so I'm always happy to do it as well. And I know that the Klingon side will be doing this as well once there's enough people who are at level 50 to warrant it and everything like that. So go put it to good use.
I know that I'm probably going to be using it sometime in the future, especially if I, once I get some more tactical ability on my Odyssey, I'll definitely be taking a look at all the Bridge Officer abilities that I'm using, because I've sort of tailored those to the sort of equipment level that I'm at.
Cool. There's also want to announce that the Klingon Doff market is now open. As I'm sure you all heard in the commercial, they were sponsoring this week's episode. And so definitely take a look at that. I cannot recommend the Doff store or the Doff market enough. This will really help your builds. They get blue and purple Doffs for free. It's something the operations department is super excited to do. I know Garen is the Doff man and he is fantastic at what he does. So definitely take a look. It's one of the great things we have going on in this fleet. It can really help your builds. It can help you experiment new builds. It can also just help you get your DOFs for your duty officer missions going. So, DOF market is now open. We are very excited. So, feel free to take a look. I know the first DOF sale is up for the market on the website.
Yeah, according to this, they have 29 blues and 6 purples for the DOF market. So if you're on the Cadia fleet, or I should say the Cadia Palace, then take a look at that, and you can boost your KDF characters that much more.
And the last bit of fleet news we have is that the PvP League is still going on. It has not actually started. We had to do a bit of a revamp for the rules and structure just to deal with the number of players we had. We're making the amount of teams we had slightly awkward, so they changed the team setting up a little bit. But it is still going to happen. If you're still interested, it might be too late to sign up, but you can always ask someone. And of course, keep an ear out. We will be updating you on the progress of the league right here on the podcast.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it starting. I'm not a participant, but I am looking forward to hearing about it and seeing who's going to make it into the next rounds and so forth.
I'm wondering if there's a way if people who have cloaked ships could come and like join and spectate. Or somehow, I'd love to like record some of them, video some of them.
Yeah, maybe a live stream of some sort. Just realize that this is going to be happening in March, so it's our own version of March Madness.
That would be cool. Yeah, I can't wait for it to start either. I'm very excited.
Okay, let's move on to promotions. Everyone stand at attention, salute.
I am saluting.
So am I. Okay. For this past week on the Fed side, we have one promotion. People who have been promoted to the fleet rank of Lieutenant Commander Bootyful. Congratulations, Lieutenant Commander Bootyful.
Congratulations, Bootyful, at Furstenberg. Furstenberg, again, welcome to the fleet. He's one of our newer members. Well done. Great job.
And on the KDF side, for the House of Martok promotions, we have a couple more. We have five members that have been promoted to the fleet rank of Sol. That's Sheckley at Drone Sandwich, Twistflame at Twistflame, Storvokor at Alkesk 1992, and Gordon at Dave Lister 76, and finally Apex at Trevor G. Congratulations to all of our new Sol members.
Kaplach, you bring great honor to the House of Martok.
Kaplach. And members that have promoted to the fleet rank, to the house rank of Gupach, are Dakar at Veilthorn and Black Wolf at Warspited. So kaplach to both of you.
Kaplach. Thank you for bringing honor to the house.
That's all that we have for fleet promotions.
All right. Fantastic job, everybody. Thank you so much for putting in the lithium and other marks and whatnot to the fleet. The fleet is growing very, very well right now. We're growing a lot of things, and it's all thanks to you guys. And promotions are a great way to show that you have been participating. So really appreciate it. Thank you, all of you.
Incoming transmission.
Next up, we have the mailbag. Like always, anyone can always, at any time, feel free to write in. Let us know your thoughts, your complaints, anything you have, any tips and tricks you want us to read out on air. We've read poetry. We'll do it again. Anything you want, you can reach us in-game at Jason, J-A-E-C-Y-N. Send a message to me, or you can send a message to Captain Bettuccini, or you can send us messages through the fleet website. We're not picky. We will take them anyway. So the first mailbag comes from our intrepid leader. It is a message that he sent out to everyone, I believe, but it's important, so I want to make sure it got read out on here as well. So this is from Admiral Winters. Greetings to all fleet members. This is just a quick mail to inform everyone that there will be gradual changes made to the fleet website over the coming weeks. The changes will include updating the forum section, which has already had some work done to it, but also changes to navigation. Basically, since the fleet website has been created, we have been adding more and more information and services. It has now come to the point where things need to be cleaned up a bit. The DOF store will now be under a new link called Fleet Services. Other services that will be located here are the Suleiman Cellship and Boff Academy. If anyone has any trouble finding anything, you can always ask in-game or on the fleet website itself. Anything command-related, such as provision requests, captain and vice admiral info packs, voice server info, shore leave, and so on, will be under a new link called Command Department. We hope that the guide section will expand too, with a complete walkthrough for the entire episode chain and PVE SDF queues, but this is an enormous task and will take some time to implement. If anyone has any ideas, suggestions, thoughts, advice, or requests, please feel free to post them in the suggestion box on the website located in the forums. I'd also like to remind anyone who has not yet joined the Interfleet chat channel K7 that you can simply copy and paste the code below into the chat box and then hit enter to join. This is very important as this is the main channel that is now used and has replaced Fleet Chat. The code to copy and paste is, of course, /channel_join(K-7), as you guys can read it, in regards to the command department. So I wanted to read that out. We did mention that there were some changes already being made, but it's very good to know. So if you haven't joined K7 and you're listening to this podcast, please join K7. You can go on and in your fleet mail somewhere inside the game, you can see this message that was sent out. All right. And the second piece of mail is from our very own Ben, and he has some exciting news he wanted to share with us. I can't believe this is true, so I'm going to read it.
Oh, God.
Hi, Jason. Got one big great thing that will hopefully bring lots of people in to join us. Be easier to tell you on Mumble, but I never catch you on. I pulled some strings and got our fleet advertised on air in the radio in the United Kingdom over approximately 1,500 miles, which starting at a base rate range of 200 miles. I'm not sure where it listed, but I know it started off in Staffordshire and Cheshire, and he was able to do it because his mother's friend owns his own radio station, and he asked if he could advertise for us. That is amazing. Thank you so much, Ben, for that. I'm going to be scouring the internet looking for a recording of maybe this that radio station's promotion or something. So everyone, Starfleet Task Force 1 has now been officially on the radio in the real world.
Yeah, if we could find a recording of that, we'd totally play it on this podcast.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Ben, for getting that together and letting us know that that happened. That is awesome, kind of hilarious and awesome. Thank you so much. Kudos to you, sir. All right, that's all we have for the mailbag. So please send us your comments and questions. Send us awesome things like you're putting us on the radio.
Yeah.
My jaw hit the floor when I read that. And even if you just want to write in to say hi and let us know how you're doing in game, let us know if you just hit level 50 or if you found something to be awesome. All right. That should just about wrap it up for this episode. Thanks once again for listening to episode 8 of the Starfleet Task Force 1 Operation Priority Subcast. I'm Captain Jason.
I'm Captain Fettuccini.
Live long and prosper.
Happy hunting.
Thank you.